You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to you. Opening with Brother Albert Allwell giving us a narration concerning our national flag.
Walking through a county courthouse square, on a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your flagpole has leaned a little bit. That's a rugged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Son, have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "Yes, I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. For you see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night Francis Scott Key sat watching it writing, 'Oh, say, can you see?' And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Packenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low by the time it was through. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam. And now they almost quit waving her back here at home. In her own good land, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and wearing thin, but she's in pretty good shape for the shape she's in. 'Cause she's been through the fire before, but I think she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, take her down every night, and we don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her up just right. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
Our thoughts are entitled Religious Freedom. July 4 is a day recognized in the United States as our Independence Day. In the days before that, the colonies were somewhat independent one of another and ruled over by England. Declaring themselves free from that rule proved to be very costly. I do not propose to write a history of all that led up to that, but the 13 colonies formed themselves into a nation, and in the due course of time, certain men wrote the Constitution and later the Bill of Rights, which had 10 parts. The first one, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the people peaceably to assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievances. The First Amendment never intended to separate Christian principles from government. The First Amendment went through nearly a dozen different discussions and changes before it was finally adopted. What the founders really said was, we do not want in America what we had in Great Britain. We do not want any single denomination to be the national church. The intent was well understood. A 1799 court declared, by our form of government, the Christian religion is the established religion, and all sects and denominations of Christians are placed on the same equal footing. In other words, we do want Christian principles. We do want God's principles, but we don't want one denomination to run the nation. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humble to implore His protection and favor. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. And those are the words of George Washington. The United States in Congress assembled recommended this addition of the Bible to the inhabitants of the United States, a neat addition of the Holy Scriptures for use of school. I understand that the resolution was passed in regard to a Bible that Congress had printed. The Congress of the United States recommends and approves the Holy Bible for use in our schools. Both of those resolutions were passed in 1782. Almighty God, who has given us this good land for our heritage, we humbly beseech Thee that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of Thy favor and glad to do it. Do Thy will. Bless our land with honorable ministry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. In time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness, and in the day of trouble, suffer not our trust in Thee to fail. All of which we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And that's a portion of a prayer by President Thomas Jefferson, March 4, 1801, when the First Continental Congress convened in 1774, Thomas Cushing encouraged the delegates to begin their proceedings with prayer, which they did. Throughout the remainder of its existence, the Continental and Confederation Congress employed chaplains and routinely issued calls for prayer, fasting, and thanksgiving. And that's from an article entitled From Prayer and the Constitution. When the leaders of our country assembled to write the Constitution, they spent 4 or 5 weeks on various points without agreeing. The aged Benjamin Franklin said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of the truth that God governs the affairs of men, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayer, imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations, be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service." And now, it is my understanding that after this was accepted and they began to have prayer, it was not long after that until they came to an agreement and had the document, the Constitution. From George Washington's prayer journal, we read, "Direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by the Holy Spirit from the dross of my natural corruption, that I may with more freedom of mind and liberty of will serve Thee, the everlasting God, in righteousness and holiness this day, all the days of my life." For 170 years following the ratification of the Constitution and Bill of Rights, no court, and I repeat, no court, had ever struck down any prayer in any form, in any location. In 1947, in an opinion, Everson versus Board of Education, Judges Hugo Black, who some think was prejudiced against Christianity, quoted President Thomas Jefferson's statement about a wall of separation and further added his own opinion that the wall must be high and impregnable. President Jefferson got a letter in October 1801 from the Danbury Baptist Association in Connecticut, complaining about the infringement of their religious liberties by their state legislature. In his reply, the president spoke of a wall of separation between the government and church, thus easing their fears about losing their religious liberty. That was what the First Amendment was about, assuring the people that the national government could not pass laws that would take away their religious freedom. The First Amendment was not to protect the government from the church. That First Amendment was to protect the church from the government. They were to make no law that would infringe upon their religious freedom or their free exercise thereof. That day, that lay dormant for nearly 150 years, that letter and the statement in it, I say, that lay dormant for nearly 150 years until Mr. Black picked it up, and it has been misunderstood and abused ever since. Again, the Constitution, nor the Bill of Rights, says one thing about separation of church and state. And all down through these years, as stated above, for 170 years, following the ratification of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, no court had ever struck down any prayer in any form, in any location. Also, as stated earlier, the Congress of the United States recommended a certain edition of the Bible be used in our schools, and the state, and that was in 1782. This idea of separation of church and state has been carried far beyond what our founding fathers had in mind. They never intended the First Amendment to be used to drive God or Christ out of the national life or government, but they did intend to protect the church from the government, which is needed more now than ever it would seem. The way things are going now, ministers may soon be prosecuted for preaching parts of the Bible. I read recently where the writer was saying that there was going to be a lot of people leaving the conservative churches because they, among other reasons, would not take part in same-sex marriages. As many people were accepting the practice, but there were other churches they could join, and I would call them the liberal churches, it is evident that this man who wrote this article that I'm referring to does not know what true Christianity is. There is no conservative church, there is no liberal church that can save anyone. There is only one Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. There is only one name under heaven whereby man can be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. Further, a true Christian is one who seeks to live by the teachings of the Word of God, regardless of what the multitude of people believe or say. The multitudes of people believing something does not make it right, does not make it wrong. But, beloved, the Word of God is true. Jesus, in His prayer in John 17, said, "Sanctify them by Thy Word. Thy Word is truth." And it is the Word of God that we are given to live by. And a Christian will endeavor to live by the Word of God, regardless of what the multitude or the modern religions may say. Let me also say that the unkind words and names that we are called, the accusations that we hate homosexuals, will not close our mouths. You cannot be a Christian and hate anyone. Let me repeat that. You cannot, and I emphasize cannot, be a Christian and hate anyone. In fact, Jesus taught us that we are to love our very enemies. But you can hate sin and you can hate the devil. Some people using such tactics would rob us of our religious freedom by trying to make us keep our mouths shut. There is a great need for Christians to pray for our nation, for it is becoming more anti-Christian as the days go by. I have lived a little more than 86 years, and I thank God for that, and I have never seen a time where there was so much anti-Christian attitude in our nation as there is today. Other religions seems to be all right, but not Christianity. There is a spirit in our nation working against Christianity and the way that Christ taught us to live. Get some of the writings of some of our national leaders are the past, and I have quoted some already on this broadcast, and see how they freely spoke about God, about Jesus Christ, and how we need to believe in them and obey their teachings, and compare that with what is being said today. In some places, you cannot even use the name Jesus Christ lest you offend someone. Our school boards, our county commissioners, and all are told that they cannot open their sessions with prayer. Whenever the Congress of the United States opens their sessions with prayer, and there is a statement made in the Supreme Court about God save this nation, yet these judges out over the land are handing down decisions supposedly based on the Constitution, and it's not there. There's nothing, again I say, in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights about separation of church and state. And again, I want to repeat what I said earlier. The Bill of Rights, the first Bill of Rights, was not to protect the government from the church, but to protect the church from the government. Remember what it says? The First Amendment says that we, the government, shall not pass a law that would infringe upon religion or the free exercise of that religion. And so men have put in that Bill of Rights or that idea of separation of church and state things that are not there. And they've gone to the extreme in this idea of separation of church and state. Beloved, this nation needs God. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And anybody or any nation that forgets God is headed for moral and spiritual shipwreck. Beloved, God is always right. And Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I trust that our thoughts today will be a blessing to our congregation, for we're not criticizing.
All across the country needs a cross. This land was built on freedom, but our children can't pray in school. They used to read the Bible, but now that breaks the rules. Even on our money, it says in God we trust. It's time we Christians show the world that it still stands true for us. The country needs the cross, a symbol of redemption, and it paid for us all. A statue of liberty came to save a world that's lost. All across the country, needs a cross. Our fathers fought and gave their lives for our flag that waves so proud. But now we burn the stars and stripes, we've let all glory down. These laws that break our hearts today were made on Capitol Hill. We need to climb that hill once more where Jesus' blood was spilled.
I trust that our broadcast today has been a blessing to you. If so, why not let us hear from you? Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine on our webpage, and you can also listen to past broadcasts if you've missed any, and you can join us in our services. Sunday morning service, 20 minutes before 11, evening service at 6, our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7, and they are broadcast live over the internet, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Avner Craig. We thank you for being a part of our broadcast today, and we trust you'll tune in next week when, again, the Lord willing, we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.